Good morning and welcome to our Sunday service. I hope that you are well. I hope that the words that we are going to dwell on from God's word this morning, the message that we're going to hear, the songs that we allow to minister to us, will find you well, and that through them and in them you'll find God's hope, God's healing and His joy, even in these very difficult and challenging times that we go through. As we start the service this morning, let me read a few words to you from Psalm 16. An incredible psalm, a psalm of David. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take my refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Listen to those incredible words. I wonder if we were to do the same every morning when we get up in the morning and say, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. You are everything to me. Then David goes on and he says, I have set the Lord always before me. What an incredible statement for life, a mission statement almost for his life. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. You have made known to me the path of life. Splendid, beautiful, isn't it? You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. What a description of incredible promise that David is depicting here that God has given him. The reassurance that he has that even though he's been through the valley of the shadow of death, he knows the life of goodness, of mercy, of joy, of hope will follow him. And this is the theme that we're going to think about this morning as we journey for the last time on the Psalm 23rd in the scripture. Psalm 23rd, an incredible psalm of David, and the words that we're going to focus on this morning says like this: surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's why I hope and pray that as we listen to this word today, as we engage with God's love through singing, through whatever, we will know His presence. We will know that His love and His mercy, even in the circumstances, will follow us. So let us pray and commend this service to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be listening to your word, to be part of your church that is scattered at the moment, yet one because of Jesus Christ. As we come to you, we pray that you will be before our eyes, you will be in our hearts, and that we will be touched by your Holy Spirit as we engage with your word today yet again, as we worship you in this way. Father, I pray for all those who listen to this word, that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they will know the purposes that you have for their lives, and that they will experience a new dimension of your love for them, a new and intimate love from the Holy Spirit into their lives. We thank you that you are with us, and in everything we do or say today, may we glorify your name, the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Still to will rise as darkness gathers and the storm goes on and on. Be faithful, be faithful. Christ is able still to save. Come, be sinners, poor and needy. Sing to Him our song.
Let's stand together. Grateful for His saving power today. Let's tell Him thank you.
How thank you.
That's right, just tell Him. Cross, Lord, we say, for Your delivering power, we say,
oh, for saving.
Go.
Good morning, everyone. Vince and I have been asked to share with you some of the things that we are grateful for to God. We are very grateful that we have each other, David and I, that we have our home, that we have Vince and Holly, that we have friends and family who care for us. And during lockdown, when we were very limited to going out and about and all the things that we really loved doing, we couldn't do anymore. We couldn't even go to the coffee shop and have a coffee. We couldn't go swimming, the gym. I couldn't go to art class, to ladies' fellowship, to church, to sing in the Ridge Choir. All the things I loved doing, I suddenly couldn't do. And it made me realise how much I thoroughly enjoy going out and about. But thank God we could go out once a day and take Vince and Holly a walk for our own sanity and for their sakes. We came back and then we would sit down and say, well, what can we do now? And I went on the exercise bike. David did his exercises at home. We sat in the garden, enjoyed that beautiful weather. I got to do some more painting and colouring than I normally do. Got to ring friends and speak to people from church. And we suddenly realised that we could be thankful for all those many, many things. And I'm still grateful for that. But I have to admit, I found it a very difficult time and I got quite low at one point because I was just missing talking to and being with people. It's just so important for us as human beings to be with each other. And in the church community, it's so important when you're reading the Bible about community and supporting and loving each other. And we try to do that from a distance, but it's just not the same as seeing people. So it's been an absolute joy, and I thank God that we've been able to be back in church for the last two services. If you haven't been yet, I would thoroughly recommend it. There's something very special about being back in a church building and hearing Amelia speaking in person and hearing the prayers and being able to think God is with us. And His presence is here in such a much stronger way when there's more Christians together. And it's such a joy to be able to do that. So I just want to say to you all that it hasn't been easy for us, but thank God we've come through it.
Praises. I want to praise your name every day. Alleluia.
And what I'm going to do now is read Psalm 23 that I've been asked to read. It's a very well-known psalm, but as you know, I'm going to have to hold it very close, so here goes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I just want to say thank you God, that that is so true. And hope to see you all soon. Bye.
Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the thank you.
Hello again, and today, as I said just earlier on, we are concluding our series on Psalm 23rd. I hope you have enjoyed this series of messages from Psalm 23. I found it very moving and very fitting that the Lord has given me this word for us during this time, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for writing in email or texting or even calling me to say how incredibly helpful you have found these messages. And I'm blown away by your praise and by your encouragement during this time. Thank you for taking the time to write to me or to ring me even. I really appreciate it. I need encouragement as much as you do, guys. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord for the way He used those words to speak to you, to encourage you during this time, especially. And so as we come to this Psalm 23, to the last message, we've seen how incredibly David describes his reassurance in God's leadership, in God's promises, in His provision, in His restoration, promises that David is really want to reaffirm. And he does the same in this last verse of this psalm, in verse 6, where he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Where do you get this kind of confidence in the promises of God? You know, where can you find it from? And there are two or three that I would like to mention this morning in this message, is that David had this confidence of claiming God's promises of leadership, of leading, of provision, of abundance, of going to the dark valleys and in His presence be with him, because God, he knew that God was watching over him. Since he was a boy, since he was a shepherd, he knew that God was with him. He experienced God even when he was on the run from King Saul. He knew that God's with him. Secondly, it's because God's grace was working within him. He noticed how God has spared his life, has been able to enrich his life and look after him to the valley of the shadow of death, from forgiveness that is given him from his shin with Bathsheba and many others. But also, this verse alludes to the fact that not only God looks for us here and now, but also for eternity. Because heaven is waiting for me, I have that incredible confidence. And David had that confidence because he knew that God's rod and staff, they comfort him and they guide him for his righteousness' sake. And this is where I would like now to focus the remainder and the last message of this psalm on: surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God's is good. God is good, and I can expect His protection and provision over me. I can expect that no matter what happens to me, His name will be glorified. And I say this very cautiously, because sometimes God heals us, but sometimes He chooses not to. Sometimes God answers prayers, or sometimes He chooses to answer them in a different way than what we expect to. And I'll say this, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of my life, as long as we trust Him and we walk into His purposes. Where there is obedience, there is blessing. There is also blessing when there is no obedience, but the blessing takes another shape and another form, and that blessing is followed also by consequences, and the consequences and the price that we pay for sin. So there, where there is obedience, there is a lot of blessing. This is something that I've been telling you for quite a number of years. And so in light of what God has done for David, David speaks very confidently of what God will do for him here and now, but also in the days to come and also in eternity. David knows the way God takes care of him. And because God is faithful and not fickle, that kind of care will also be continued from here to eternity, from David to us today. I like what somebody once has written, and I was really struck by this last week when we opened our church, and it was our second Sunday in church, when I've been preaching about cultivating gratitude and contentment and the attitude of praise and adoration. And at the end of the service, we had a few students who came in, and one of the students came and I asked him, where is he from, what he studied, and he said he was a student, but now he lives and sleeps in a car. It's very easy for me to stand up there and preach to cultivate an attitude of contentment, an attitude of gratitude, when you've got everything and you're surrounded by a house in which you live pretty comfortable and so on. But when you are a young man who's looking forward to the future and you sleep in your car in the 21st century Britain, it is even more challenging to cultivate such attitudes. And this is what I would like to pose with you over and reflect in this last few words of Psalm 23. How many of us are truly convinced that no matter what happens in our lives, we are being followed by goodness and mercy? Of course, it's very simple to speak this way when things are going well. But when my health has gone and has disappeared, and I struggle mentally, when I struggle physically, it is very difficult to affirm and to trust that surely goodness and mercy will follow me. What is my reaction when I lose my job, especially if we've seen in this coronavirus plague time that we live through, when a lot of people lose their jobs and lose their mortgages, lose their homes, lose their families, domestic violence rises to a level that we've never seen it before, is unprecedented. Can we still reaffirm that surely goodness and mercy follows me for the rest of my lives, of my life? When my little world is falling apart and the dreams of our children, of our young people, is falling apart, can we still reaffirm and trust in a God who says that I will provide for you, I'll be with you? The surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Can I really say that from the bottom of my heart? In Hebrew, the word that David uses there as follows me is a word that often is translated as pursuing, is pursued. And David himself uses this word when he questions Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 18. He says, "Why does my Lord," David says to Saul, "why does my Lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is on my hands?" The same word he uses there, those pursuing, those following. So David knew what it means to be relentlessly pursued, followed by someone very closely and running away with fear in your life. David knew exactly what that word meant for him. And yet he has the confidence, he has the trust now, later on in his life, as he writes this Psalm 23, as he experienced God's hand leading him to green pastures and refreshing waters, as he experienced God's presence to the dark valleys of the shadow of death, he now stands up and proclaims that even though he's been through all these things and he witnessed that leadership, now he knows with confidence that all things work for the good of all who are trusting in him. Or as he puts it here, surely goodness and mercy will follow me for the days of my life. Paul put it in those words indeed, saying that all things work for the good of all who trust in God. But look how that confidence then expresses itself in the last half of verse 6. Not only is David rejoicing and confident in God's abundance, God's plenty today and God's plenty every day, but as we see here, he is confident he will enjoy God's plenty forever. Surely goodness and mercy, verse 6 says, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever and ever and ever and ever. What does David mean when he talks about the house of the Lord? David is accustomed to living in tents. Was he a shepherd, a young boy as a shepherd? He is accustomed living in houses in made out of brick and mortar. Or he is accustomed to visiting the temple in Jerusalem and seeing that kind of experience where God's presence was made manifest, where people of God were gathering together and saying God a word. But that's not what David means there, that he will be followed by God's presence as long as he goes to church, as long as he is in the temple, or as long as he does that or the other. That's not what David means here. Let me read to you a couple of passages to clarify what David really means. In Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5, it says this: "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up upon a rock." And Psalm 92, it says this: "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13. In both of these passages, I believe David uses the term like house of the Lord and temple in the courts of our God to refer not ultimately to a physical location, to a dwelling place as a house or a temple made out of brick and mortar, but to a fellowship with God. To refer to living in God's presence is for eternity. That once you put your trust in the Lord, he will see that through his Holy Spirit, that you will live in his presence here and now, but also in the life to come. Under the old covenant, the temple was where God's special presence was manifested. Now God's presence is manifested in all of us who trust in him and welcome him and receive him as Lord and Savior in our lives. This is now transferred and move on into eternal presence that will be one day into his glory with him and see him face to face. So David's confidence is that he will dwell in the fullness of what the temple represents, that he will dwell in God's presence forever, and that place of forgiveness and worship. In a sense, the way David ends this psalm adds a new fullness to the beginning of this psalm. Isn't he really saying, listen to these words, "The Lord is my shepherd forever. I shall not want forever. He makes me lie down in green pastures," when? Forever. "He leads me beside still waters," for how long? Forever. Would David describe himself as a blessed man? Of course he would. On what grounds? Because of the context to which and the regularity with which he experienced God's abundance, God's provision, God's guidance, God's promises being fulfilled, and above everything else, God's incredible presence with him. And luck has nothing to do with this. If you remember last week, I talked to you about Frane Selak, the Croatian music teacher who was so struck by terrible, what we might call today, bad luck. And you can revisit what I said about him, but he's an extraordinary man that he managed to survive through the many incidents that he went through. And he lived to tell the tale. And in an interview a few years back, he said, "I know God was watching over me all these years, all these years." The most amazing thing about Psalm 23 is not its poetry or timeless quality, as much as that is. It's a beautiful psalm, very poetic and incredibly moving and powerful for that matter. The most amazing thing is that anyone can know now the same kind of care that David experienced then. The most amazing thing is that Psalm 23 is an open door. It's an open door into the fields of the divine shepherd. We don't have to imagine how David felt to be led beside quiet waters, to experience God's presence in the valley of the shadow of death, because we have that now. We go to the valley of the shadow of death now. And as long as we made this shepherd our Lord, we will experience his presence here and now. We can know this same blessing today through faith in him, of a Christ who came to minister to us, to die for us on the cross, and the Lord God, his Father, brought him back to life after 3 days. Do you believe in this Lord so that you can make him your shepherd for today? We can be part of his flock. We can relive, and we are living Psalm 23 today. We are like David. In fact, the abundance that David experienced then was itself just a foretaste of what was to come. If I may say so, David experienced just a cup which overflew. But you know what we experience today because of the grace of Christ, who was fulfilled and brought over and flew from the cross of Christ? We experience now buckets and rivers and oceans of his grace, of his presence, of his abundance, of his provision. Not just a cup, but entirely oceans of grace and mercy and goodness that will follow us for the rest of our lives. David, enjoy just a little sweet sip, but we have been given the huge, massive cup. Incredible for that. How beautiful, how incredible it is that we can enjoy, we can experience Psalm 23 in our own context today because of Jesus Christ. We have his presence for us, and we can surely say, confidently say, as we experience God in our lives up to now, as we experience God in the present and will in the future, the surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the rest of our lives. Can you say that with confidence in your life? You will, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. You can say that because then he'll be your shepherd. This kind of abundance is only accessed through Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pastures. How incredible, incredible words in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 7, 8, and 9. How do we access the Psalm 23 kind of abundance? There is only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. Make Jesus the Son of God, who came on earth to die for you, to minister to you, and was brought back to life by God himself, so that you can inherit eternal life. If you make this God your Lord, if you trust him, you will experience him as your shepherd. You will walk, even though to the valley of the shadow of death, his presence will be with you. I am the door, he said, Jesus. You can only experience that through him. Jesus is the door to the pasture of abundant life, for here and now, not just for eternal life. I hope and pray that you are at the door. And if you are at the door and knocking, that you will have the courage to allow God to open the door for you when you go through that door. You will have the courage to go through and say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. It doesn't take a philosophy. It doesn't take fancy prayers. All you have to say, Father, I want to know you deeper. If you do exist and if you're up there, I want you to show me Jesus. I want him to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. Come and live within my life. I want to trust you with my life. Forgive me for what I've done. I am a sinner. I love you and I trust you. Amen. That's all you have to pray. May this God, this Lord Jesus Christ, make him your Lord, your personal Lord, and you will then walk with him for the rest of your life as your shepherd. Jesus came in order to open the door so that we may enjoy green pastures, lushy meadows of refreshing waters, where, okay, we might be walking to the valley of the shadows, but we know his presence with us. And we can then confirm and say confidently that surely goodness and mercy will follow us for the rest of our lives. Just listen to the abundance, to the plenty of God's pasture. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus Christ. What an abundance. This is what God invites you to. Join him in as he opens his door. He is the door to come to this lushy pastures of blessing, of incredible generosity and grace, forgiveness of sins. It might not take away the value of the shadow of death, but what he will give you is his presence, his reassurance, his love, and his guidance throughout that. The pastures is only possible because the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus was nailed to a Roman cross for us. He took our place. He took God's judgment against our sinful ways and stubbornness. He laid down his life, but he also rose again. I hope that you will allow him to come in, that you will walk through this door of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you'll remember this psalm as a psalm where the Lord has spoken to you, that you either have come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, or you have come more intimate with him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine up in you and give you his strength and grace at this time. Thank you for listening to this word, and I pray that it will take root in your life, it will grow, and you will bear much fruit. It will bless you and grow you into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for watching our service today. I hope that you felt God's presence at home where you are, wherever you watch this video. And let me just give you a blessing for today, that you will hopefully bring even more reassurance into your life. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Remember, surely goodness and mercy will follow me for the rest of my life, forever and ever. Be merciful. Be loving. Be gracious. To him, therefore, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.